God has been so good in the relationships he's allowed us to develop, that we've had such good friends, Greg Laurie, Raul Reese, Dave Eubank, Franklin Graham, that God has given us friendships in the ministry, and I believe we're stronger together, and we go further, you know, that if one can do so much, but two together, they can get a whole lot done.
It's a special day on Connect with Skip Heitzig, as Lenya Heitzig takes us on an amazing journey in a fascinating conversation with Chip Lesko. We will resume our Hunting Giants series on Monday. But today, Lenya will give you her point of view on the start of Calvary Albuquerque and her growing involvement in the international work of Reload Love. Here's Lenya and Chip Lesko.
Today's a special program. We're taking the week off to do a look around with Skip and Nathan, and today with Lenya Heitzig. Lenya, welcome to the studio.
So great to be here, Chip. We've been down this road for a long time together.
We've been doing it, and there's more road ahead.
That's right. But best is yet to come.
We do want to glance back. We are looking at 40 years since you pulled up stakes
in
Southern California and headed, it seems like you headed west, but you headed east.
Yeah, it was the opposite of the Beverly Hillbillies. Oh, listen to a story about a man named Skip.
Right.
Poor surfer boy.
So you were on an adventure. It was a journey. You hadn't really been to New Mexico.
No, that's really good. You know what? I was in Hawaii. Skip was in California. I was with Youth at the Mission. We had dated, weren't dating. And my dad called Skip and said, gosh, you know that chick Lenya Heitzig, she really still loves you. And he's like, what? And so he sent me a bouquet of roses. And 2 months later, after I finished my commitment with YWAM, I came to California. And Skip was in New Mexico when I arrived. And came home from his scouting journey with Kent Bagdasar and asked me to marry him and to move to New Mexico. So I came here sight unseen.
Never been to the land of enchantment.
Can you believe it?
Well, you're a very organized person, but you're also an adventurous person.
Yes.
You don't mind a little bit of pizzazz, right?
Well, I think no risk, no reward. Hmm. And if you look at the people in the Bible, you know, Esther made a huge risk going into, you know, the king of her time, or Ruth going from Moab back to Bethlehem, and Abraham leaving Ur of the Chaldees to go to the promised land. If you look at the people of God, they have these ventures of faith, and it really is all faith, that you're going to take a high-risk opportunity because you have faith that God has a reward and that he's calling you to it. And so that really was the case. From the time I was born again at Calvary Costa Mesa, I really had this odd calling that God wanted me to be a pastor's wife. And Chip, you've been around the block. You had met pastor's wife. I'd never met one. So this was such an unusual desire for me to have. And I didn't know any pastors. Then I joined Youth with a Mission, which I love mission work, as we'll get to with Reload Love. But I kept being invited on a mission to Indonesia, to Thailand. I'd pray, and I feel like God would say no. Finally, the mission director came and said, so what's the deal? You do know you're in a mission organization. And I said, I really feel like I'm called to be a pastor's wife. I feel like my gifts and callings are more toward discipleship than evangelism. I don't think we can ever divorce evangelism from our call. We're to go in all the world. But it seemed like everyone I ministered to on the mission venue were Christians in crisis. And so God would just use me in that way. So the reason Skip called is this, my mentor in Youth at the Mission said, you know, that's a fantasy. And so you need to confront that fantasy. So I wrote this letter to Skip. This is what God's calling me to. This is what I want to do in my life. Skip said when he received the letter, it was like reading something he'd written himself. And so he was just gobsmacked that all the things I wanted to do in a community were what he was feeling called to do. So after the letter was the flowers. I came home, and a week after I came home, he asked me to marry him.
And there you go.
I know.
You know, speaking of mentors, I'm always curious to find out who were examples for people who are now in leadership. And besides the obvious impact of Skip, world-class Bible teacher, who was really an example to you and for you?
Of course, Chuck Smith, that's where I was saved. So I was saved at Calvary. But then when I joined Youth with a Mission, I worked with Dave and Debbie Gustafson, and they were a fabulous couple. I was able to watch them side by side in the ministry and see how it worked as a couple. So they had a high influence in my life. Believe it or not, I was good friends with Mel Tari, Like a Mighty Wind, who had come from Indonesia and had quite charismatic things happen in his life. I read the book by Howard Snyder, The Problem with Wineskins, and recognizing that we just needed to be multipliers, you know, go to the next place. So there were so many people that influenced my life. And I think just Youth with a Mission in general was an organization that was like, we wanted to see the world preached to before Christ came, was, you know, kind of to know God and make him known is their whole banner. So those were some of the influences.
And then you stepped into the Calvary Chapel movement when that wave was cresting in Southern California.
That's right.
And now we're seeing, you know, movies memorializing that. And I have a concern about it becoming a monument,
right,
and looking for a redo of that. And God could, but he typically moves in a fresh fashion, don't you think?
Absolutely. Chuck, I think himself, would never have wanted it memorialized in a way. He was so entrepreneurial, if you will, in the spirit. And he liked guys that moved in the spirit. So he was always what, you know, that where God guides, God provides, and talking about that God would anoint where he appoints. And so Chuck watched men who were anointed move to appointed places. And when he saw God's hand, he would say, yeah, I ratify what the Spirit is doing. So I enjoy much more watching the Spirit move and saying, there's the Spirit, let's follow that, than I am to try and make a formula and recreate something. And that's a hard thing in our lives. We have the Word of God, and it shows us how God moves, but we also have the Spirit of God. And so that's where risk-reward kind of comes into. You have to be willing to move with the Spirit. And those things aren't always concrete. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so much of my life has continued to be walking by faith and not by sight. And so there needs to be a little discomfort, you know, when you're moving in the Spirit, because it's not always a done deal, signed, sealed, and delivered. I love Franklin Graham has this idea that he got from Bob Pierce, was the God room principle. He said, you need to be so far out in the on the limb that you're giving God room, and so then you can have God meet you. So I think that the magic happens outside the comfort zone. If we get outside our comfort zone and give the Holy Spirit opportunity, it's where you see the high-hanging fruit, not the low-hanging fruit. You know, you're looking for the stuff up at the very tippy top of the tree where maybe other people may not reach.
The Snyder book is powerful in the principle that wineskins tend to fossilize.
That's right.
And harden into systems and techniques. And look, we are forgetful people, Lenya. So it's good to understand what happened in the Jesus movement, but just not try to emulate it.
Yes.
And we do want to see Jesus move, so, but
yes,
however he chooses to move.
Yes. Well, and he may move in a whole different organization. It doesn't have to be the Calvary movement. I just want to watch him move.
Right.
And I don't care where he moves, how he moves. I want to watch it, applaud it, and, you know, be involved in whatever way he would choose.
Yeah, I know we both love and appreciate the Calvary movement, what God did. I mean, we could have ended up being in some denomination somewhere. What happened through Calvary Chapel was fantastic, and it still continues, but it has changed and metamorphized, right?
Yeah, and I think some of the principles are still too. It was power to the laity. Chuck took away that whole structure of, you know, having a reverend, a father, this person above you, and that the people of God, you know, he empowered the people and let the Holy Spirit go, you know, in that way. And so there were a lot of things that Chuck did so right that he was willing to let new expressions of faith come in, whether that was Maranatha music, and that, you know, music jumped to rock and roll from an organ. So there are traits that you can see that God uses. And so absolutely, I am so blessed that that is the ministry I was saved under, and I still, I'm a child of it.
I want to do a natural segue now to Reload Love, because, Lenya, the next great move may not happen in America. It may not be USA-centric.
Yeah.
It could easily happen in Asia or Africa or elsewhere.
Absolutely. So Reload Love for me was an absolute another venture of faith, a high-risk endeavor. It was around 2014, so I'm coming almost 10 years to Reload Love. And ISIS was coming across Syria into Iraq, and there was a genocide of Yazidi people and of Christians. And I was watching the TV and seeing these children, you know, that were shoved up Mount Sinjar and helicopters and trying to get these kids on helicopters. And I just thought, Lord, what could I do? And I got this non sequitur thought, maybe I could take spent bullet casings, turn them into beautiful brass charms, and help babies impacted by terror. What a counterintuitive thought in every single way that was. I am not a G.I. Jane. I am a Malibu Barbie all the way. I'd never really shot a gun. So why am I going to look for bullets to somebody who's really not, you know? And so pretty quickly, I got out of the shower. I found bullets within the first week, you know, thousands of bullets. We had collected them. And then we found a jeweler that was starting to make things. Franklin is a good friend of ours. He came to town. I said, Franklin, I need to impact kids with terror. Where would I find them? And he said, you should go to Burma. I'm like, Burma? Chip, I am not a geographic political. I didn't even know where Burma was. So I had to go home and Google, you know, Myanmar. That night, and I found out that what was curious to me is so much of terrorism tends to be Arab or Muslim. And so there was a Buddhist priest there that was persecuting Muslims, and he wanted to be the Osama bin Laden of Buddhism. And that just struck me so sideways of curiosity. And in Burma, it's been a 73-year conflict between the tribal people and the government. So within a month, I was traveling to Burma. And again, there's just irony in God, because I am going on back roads, boats, hiding under a tarp, hiking for 2 days into the jungle. Again, counterintuitive to who I am. This is not Lenya Heitzig, camping out in the middle of nowhere. And the places, I almost want to cry, the places I visited are being pummeled right now. And this tribal people, the Karen people, have been persecuted for so, so long. And to be able to walk into that tribe and minister to children with Free Burma Rangers and Dave Eubank, who I would consider a mentor to this day. He's a singular human being, he and his wife and children. That man prays over every detail nonstop when you're with him. It's like, stop, let's pray, stop, let's pray, stop, let's pray. And what God has done, you know, he has an organization that is ethnic people that he has trained through a boot camp. They run to the bullets. They carry bodies out of places where the Burmese army has raped, burned, pillaged. Literally, when he was here, he's telling me a woman came to him and said, I want you to go get the bodies of my brothers. She said the village they were in, the Burmese hacked up their bodies and threw them down a well. And she said, will you get the bodies of my... And he tried to talk her out of it three times. You know, I'm going to have to go through the gauntlet of the Burmese army to get back to this village that is highly watched and go down a well. And he goes, what if we just blow up the well and bury it and put a cross on top? No. So he and his team do this backwards into this place, and he is hanging on a rope and a winch from his vehicle in a well that has had a dead bodies for 5 months. And he found the skulls, carried them out of the well, and said to this woman, is this enough? And she said, yes. She was a Christian. She looked at the skulls and she goes, I love you, my brothers. This is the best burial I can give you, but one day I'll see you again in heaven. And so to work alongside people like this is the most humbling thing. And that's just in Burma. You know, we've worked alongside people in Iraq and Jordan, Syria, the world's not worthy of these people. You know, they are really Hebrews 11 people that to walk. And for some reason, God's let me meet them. I feel it's my job to talk about them, tell the world about them, come alongside of them and help them do what they're doing. And so with specifically Dave Eubank, we've built 22 playgrounds, one of them on top of Mount Sinjar, where those kids were. And so Dave, you know, here he is like a David in the Bible, you know, a mighty man. And when I told him I wanted to do playgrounds, half of his organization said, this is crazy. He goes, Lenya, we are like the people now they love. What happens is people tell other villages about their playground, and they'll be invited to villages that are really hard to reach because the elders will come and say, will you build us a playground? And then they develop a relationship. They do a children's program. That's part of what they do. They teach them about Christ. People get saved. And so it's this goodwill ambassador that, you know, it's like when David feigned insanity so that he wouldn't be harmed. Well, when you're the missionaries that walk into these areas and say, hey, I'd like to build you a playground, everybody's like, oh, you're those nuts. But they love you. And so you keep getting invited to the next place, And then these playgrounds turn into so much more. They start out for children, but in a lot of the Muslim countries, women cannot leave. Oh, this story will kill you. Women can't leave their house, but if your kids are in a playground, you can go. And one of the playgrounds Dave built for us was in Raqqa, which was the capital in Syria of ISIS. And so one of the playgrounds went up there, and now we've built a church in Raqqa. Can you imagine to build a church where ISIS was next door to the playground? And this woman came out, and she was in her hijab, very, very covered. You'd seen these women with me, you know, Chip, how covered up they are and how traumatized they are. And she's on the swing, and she's swinging. And this woman can be out of the house is a miracle, that she doesn't have to have a male accompany her, that she's on a playground. She takes off her hijab in front of foreigners. This is just mind-boggling. And she goes, look at my face. I'm smiling. And I get shivers just thinking of this woman who's oppressed, who has been under so much conflict in Syria to get to a playground, and she gets to go on the swing and come out from underneath her hijab. So it's incredible. We've built playgrounds, schools, school buses. We've provided food, shoes, orphanages, furniture. So we try and remain open to what the needs are in the world. Right now, we just sent $50,000 to Ukraine. We have a guy on the ground there that will drive in. Zelensky had told some people a few weeks ago to depart. There were 200,000 refugees, and he was going in to try and get those kids out. And we're so excited. Now we're putting food packaging together because the food deprivation in Ukraine, also in Uganda. So we are putting meal-dense meals together that will feed over 5,000 kids for a year.
Well, Lenny, here's what I've observed in your life. I'd like your thoughts on this. Once you're exposed to those kinds of unimaginable horrors, either up close or even from remote, it changes you. And I've watched Reload Love take up more and more of your bandwidth. And it missions can't be a hobby anyhow, but it become more and more of your life.
Yes. there's a passage that says we have these treasures in earthen vessels. And in the West, these earthen vessels have become far too important. We yoga them, we spin them, we dress them up, we put Gucci on their feet, we, you know, put shag hairdos on, whatever it is, these vessels are way, way, way too important. And again, I'm a Malibu Barbie. I'm judging myself with these comments. So, but Jesus never meant the earthen vessel to be important. It says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Guess what? You're going to have to take your earthen vessel somewhere where it might get hurt. Who says that we're supposed to protect these vessels? What's important is what's inside the vessels, and these vessels need to go places. In greater love has no man than this to lay down his life for his friends. And so more and more for me, and I would say, Chip, probably this was post-cancer. It was right after I had cancer that this kind of came my way, and there's no denying that that influenced me. If you have a brush with death, you're like, meh. You know what? I'm going to die. We're all going to die. And maybe the older we get, I'm going to be 65 this year. So what? I'm going to die. But I want to be all in. I want to be running the race. I want to do whatever I can for the gospel. Well, I can do it for the gospel because we lay up our treasures in heaven, not on earth. And so this earthen vessel might get marred or hurt or shot at or whatever it is. And I think more of us could live that way.
In the time we have left, Lenya, let's do a kind of a 360. Looking back on the 40 years, what are the couple of the mountain peaks you see?
Just that God was always ahead of us. I love kind of with Moses, you know, the cloud and by day and the fire by night that led them. I feel like he was always ahead of Skip and I. So anytime we'd get to a new building, the building would fill up and we'd have to go to the next building. And I do remember when we were on the Snow Heights building, it was the third building we'd been in. I was like, phew, finally, maybe we can rest. And no, it was full that first weekend. And I remember I pulled up and started crying and I said, God, stop. I can't do this. And that is true. I can't.
It didn't stop.
And you know what? He needed to do it. I just needed to recognize it was him. And it wasn't so much about me. It was what he wanted to do. And if I could get out of the way, he could keep doing it. I didn't have to quantify it, qualify it, canonize it, whatever it is, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think that he was always ahead of us. I believe that God has been so good in the relationships he's allowed us to develop. that we've had such good friends, Greg Laurie, Raul Reese, Dave Eubank, Franklin Graham, that God has given us friendships in the ministry. And I believe we're stronger together and we go further, you know, that if one can do so much, but two together, they can get a whole lot done. So he has provided amazing relationships. Also, just the staff and team at Calvary, we have been given favor with such amazing people that multiply our efforts. I mean, here we are on the radio, Chip. You've always been, you know, the Karl Rove of radio and TV and communication, and you can't take for granted the other people that are helping spread the word. You know, we aren't multiplying it. Others are helping multiply with us. I'm so grateful for Levi. You know, he's our godson. And Levi's influence into Nathan's life and seeing Nathan now and watching Nathan preach, I'm just gobsmacked that God sometimes uses families in the ministry. You're one of them. Your children are being used in the ministry. Our children are being used in the ministry. And sometimes he calls out a whole family so that Skip and I and Nathan and Janae all get to serve together. You know, Seth and Katie, my grandchildren, just went through LifeTrack. Seth is volunteering in the audio video. He says to me on Sunday, he goes, Mimi, you know when Papa says something and they put the words on the screen? I go, yeah. And he goes, that's me. And I was like, look at that. He's 12 and he's already seeking to be in the ministry. Katie's working in the children's ministry. She loves babies. So she goes in and holds babies. So I would just say it's a family affair.
I agree totally. So looking around then, Lenny, it appears to me that you and Skip run a very sweet season, kind of a golden time in my view. I love what Skip said, that he'll never retire, but he will restructure.
That's
so
good.
Looking forward, how does the road look to you?
Yeah, I guess Skip's always been my partner. I've always paralleled him. So I'm sure wherever he decides to move and go, I'll go with him. Where you go, I will go. That was on our wedding invitation, where you know, your God will be my God, your people will be my people. I feel so symbiotic and connected, and the two are one, that I'll be right by his side, whatever that is. And I think you know me well enough, that whole fluid part of the Spirit and wineskins. I don't want anything to turn into a wineskin, and now the Spirit can't move. So I think Skip and I and Nate have open hands. You know, Moses said at one point, don't be tight-fisted, be open-handed. And I think about that with my money, with my talents, with anything in my life. You know, I'm not tight-fisted. If he wants my house, I'll move. You know, if he wants whatever it is, I can't be tight-handed with anything that he's blessed in my life. That includes the women's ministry, Reload Love, whatever that is. I'm not tight-fisted. I'm open-handed so that the Spirit can take this to wherever he wants it to go.
You've been listening to Skip's wife, Lenya Heitzig, giving her experiences in moving from California to start a church in New Mexico. On tomorrow's broadcast, Nate Heitzig will join Chip Lusko for the final day of Vision Week. Be sure to join us as Nate and Chip look to the future. Now, are you or someone close to you going through a life-changing transition, perhaps a marriage, a new child, or a change of location? This can be a time of real spiritual receptivity, so you will want to listen to this. Here's our October offer of Pivot Point messages by Skip.
Our lives are punctuated by defining moments, pivot points that shape who we are now and who we'll become, such as choice of marriage partner or where we choose to work, as Skip Heitzig observes.
There's predictable events that happens, like in your life, but every now and then, life sort of hits you by surprise. It comes crashing down on you. You are going a direction, your day is planned out, but you get a phone call from a doctor or a friend. The news is not good, the prognosis is not good, and you didn't see it coming.
God's Word has the direction to get you through the planned and unplanned pivot points in your life. The Pivot Point Package speaks to marriage, death, depression, recovery, fear of the future, and moving to a new location or job. Get these teachings that include written personal direction from Skip on each of these topics. You'll receive this package when you give $50 or more today to this Bible teaching ministry. We'll send you Pastor Skip's Pivot Points collection of 6 messages, plus an encouraging letter from Pastor Skip, so you can strengthen your faith in defining moments.
A faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted.
Get these critical Pivot Point messages today when you give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer. or call 800-922-1888.
When you take advantage of the resource offers on Connect with Skip, you help us take these messages to new national and international audiences. Your donation of $50 or more right now will help make our vision come true to have more people hear these teachings. When you vote for this expansion with your gift, we will send you the special Pivot Point messages, along with study notes on each message from Skip. Call now, 1-800-922-1888, or click in at connectwithskip.com. And join us next time on Vision Week, when we will hear from the next generation of Heitzigs, when Nate Heitzig is our special guest.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on his wood. Make a connection.
Connect with Skip Heitzig is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.